Belshazzar was the son of Nebuchadnezzar, and he was the last of the kings of Babylon. All that we know about Belshazzar is recorded in this fifth chapter of the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 5 records a day in the life of Belshazzar. But this day that is recorded in the book of Daniel was no ordinary day. Because as far as Belshazzar was concerned, unknown to him, it was going to be the last day of his life. Before this particular day would be over, Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, would be dead and in his grave. Now, he wouldn't die a natural death. He wouldn't die of old age or disease or sickness. But rather, he would die by the sword. The army of Darius would invade Babylon and remove Belshazzar from the throne of Babylon forever. So you can see here that this day was a unique day because it was going to be the last day that Belshazzar would ever live upon this scene of time. My friend, let me ask you a question tonight, and especially those of you who are here this evening and you're not saved. Have you ever thought about the last day you would spend upon this scene of time? I don't know how many days you have already spent upon this earth. I don't know how old you are. But have you ever stopped for a few moments to consider your last day upon this earth? And have you ever thought, what kind of a day would it be like? Well, you know, as we come to consider a day in the life of Belshazzar, this last day that he spent upon this earth, we want this evening very simply to find out what kind of day it was for Belshazzar. His last day upon this earth. And as we consider this last day of Belshazzar and consider what kind of day it was for him, I pray that the Lord will write his word upon your heart. And if you're not prepared for death and for eternity, that even tonight you would come and consider your latter end and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, friend, there's one thing for sure. Before you spend your last day upon this earth, you need to be saved. You need to be born again of the Spirit of God. Before you spend your last hours upon this scene of time, you need to have made your peace with God and be ready and prepared to meet God. What kind of a day was it for Belshazzar? Well, first of all, I want you to notice that it was a day of sin. A day of sin. Indeed, it was a day of great sin for Belshazzar. We can see the depths of the king's sin on that day when we read verses 1 to 4. When you read these verses, you learn very quickly that Belshazzar committed the sin of drunkenness on that day because the wine was flowing. He committed the sin of idolatry and he committed the sin of blasphemy. Indeed, from verses 1 to 4, the king shows no fear of God at all. Indeed, the God of heaven is nowhere in his thoughts whatsoever. All that Belshazzar wants is sin, pleasure, wickedness, lust, and vice. And I would say that this is an example of how he lived every day of his life. Indeed, Belshazzar was a man who enjoyed the pleasure of sin to the full, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. Now, of course, the king at this point did not know that this was going to be his last day upon earth. Therefore, when he woke up that day and planned this feast, and thought about the sin that he was going to indulge in. As far as he was concerned, tomorrow he could indulge in the same sins again. The day after that, he could indulge in the same sins again. Because as far as Belshazzar was concerned, this day was just going to be another day in his life. Look what it says there. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver and brass and iron and wood and stone. Can you see the sin of drunkenness there? Can you see the sin of lust? Can you see the sin of idolatry? Can you see the sin of blasphemy? Here was a man, and the only thing that he thought of was enjoying the pleasure of sin to the full. But little did he know that before that day would be over, that he would never enjoy the pleasure of sin again. You know, men and women, the day of sin for the sinner will come to an end. The Bible says, sin when it is finished. The Bible says, the wages of sin is death. The Bible tells us, he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. The Bible says, the end of the wicked shall be cut off. In Romans 6 verse 21 we read that the end of sin is death, but it speaks of the day of sin coming to an end. All around this province tonight there are men and women enjoying sin in the pubs and in the clubs and in the dance halls and in the dens of iniquity of this country, and they're enjoying sin. And maybe there's someone here tonight, and if you weren't here this evening, you would be with them. Because instead of you being in a gospel meeting like this, normally you would be out enjoying the pleasures of sin. Maybe there's someone here tonight, and as far as you're concerned, you can't wait until this meeting is over because you have plans for tonight. You have plans for later on. And maybe you have even plans for tomorrow night. I want you to realize this evening, as we look at this last day in the life of Belshazzar, this day of sin that he was enjoying, that day of sin for Belshazzar came to an end. And my friend, your day of sin, your day of pleasure will come to an end. And that's why the Word of God tells us in the Scriptures that we are to flee from the wrath which is to come. Because when your day of sin comes to an end, then the Bible tells us that you will go out to meet God in judgment. And we're going to see just in a moment that Belshazzar went out to meet God in judgment. Sin when it is finished. Sin when it is finished. You know, there is pleasure in sin, and there's no point in saying anything else. Men and women enjoy sin. But you know, my friend, the day will come when the pleasure will be no more. And that's why it's so important that when you come under the sound of the gospel and the Lord speaks to your heart and shows you your need of salvation. And I believe that even this week that there have been those in this mission and the Lord has spoken to them, not only in this mission, but in past weeks and past months, even in past years. And maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved, and you're not born again of the Spirit of God. And up until this point, you have been enjoying the pleasure of sin. But lately, the Lord has been speaking very personally and powerfully to you. And for you, there's just not as much pleasure in sin as there used to be. Well, my friend, I hope that is the case. But you need to strive to enter in at the straight gate. You need to repent of your sin. You need to turn from your sin. And you need to, by faith, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And thank God tonight if you do so. If you bow by faith at the foot of the old rugged cross, you can leave this meeting tonight saved and redeemed and on your way to heaven, knowing that your sins are forgiven and that you have made peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, your sins can be forgiven tonight. Thank God, as far as the east is from the west, so far will He remove your transgressions from you. The reason the Lord Jesus died upon the cross and shed His precious blood was to make an atonement for the soul. Praise God tonight, because of the work of Calvary and because of the precious blood that the Lord Jesus shed upon the cross, your sins, which are many, can be forgiven. And that's the wonderful message of the gospel. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Praise God for the cleansing power of the blood of the Lamb. It was a day of sin. But notice something else. I want you to take a look at verses 4 and 5 just for a moment. You'll notice it was a day of terror. Look what it says in verse 5. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against another. This day of sin soon turned into a day of terror for Belshazzar. This hand coming forth and writing on the wall so terrified Belshazzar that he literally trembled. His countenance changed, his knees smote one against another, and his thoughts troubled him. Why did his thoughts trouble him? Well, his thoughts troubled him for a number of reasons, I believe. First of all, because Belshazzar knew the truth and had rejected it. You say to me, preacher, did this ungodly, wicked sinner know the truth of God? Yes, he did. In order to get an interpretation of the writing on the wall, Daniel was sent for. But before Daniel gave the interpretation, he spoke about Belshazzar's father, Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, like Belshazzar, was an ungodly man. But near the end of his life, God took a dealing with Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar turned to the Lord in repentance and found salvation. And Daniel reminds Belshazzar of this. Now, we didn't read the verses, but let's read them now. Here we have Daniel being sent for to interpret this writing on the wall that has caused Belshazzar trouble. And as Daniel comes to interpret the writing on the wall, before he does so, he reminds Belshazzar about his father, Nebuchadnezzar, and how the Lord showed mercy to his father. Just take a look at verse 20. But when his heart, and Daniel here speaking to Belshazzar about his father, Nebuchadnezzar, when the heart of Nebuchadnezzar was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, has not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. Belshazzar knew about the God of heaven. Belshazzar knew about the Lord showing mercy unto his father and restoring his kingdom. Belshazzar knew the truth about God's salvation through the conversion of his father. The conversion of Nebuchadnezzar is a unique conversion in the Bible. But Belshazzar was aware of God's dealings with Nebuchadnezzar. But Belshazzar had rejected God's way and had rejected God's truth and had rejected God's power that he had seen in the life of his father. Is there any wonder that his thoughts troubled him? It was the hand of God that Belshazzar saw as the hand started to write upon the wall. And although he didn't know at that point the interpretation of it, he knew that it was the Lord that was speaking. I believe that with all my heart. And his thoughts troubled him, because now he's realizing that God's dealings with his father were true. It was the Lord that had dealt with his father. Is there any wonder his thoughts troubled him? His thoughts troubled him because of his willful sinning against God. His past was flashing before him. He knew that God was bringing his sins to remembrance. He knew his day of pleasure was coming to an end. His thoughts troubled him because he had failed to repent of his own sin. Indeed, Daniel in verse 22 and 23 tells Belshazzar of this. My friend, have your thoughts ever troubled you? Has the Lord ever spoken to you? In a gospel meeting like this, has the Lord ever come and drawn near your soul and near your heart and revealed unto you in a very personal way that you have broken his law and trampled his commandments under your feet? Has the Lord ever taken a dealing with your heart? I believe he has, and I believe that even in these meetings, the Lord has spoken to you. Is your day of sin becoming a day of terror? Have you, as you have thought about the judgment to come, as you have thought about meeting God unprepared, have you ever stopped for a few moments to consider that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God? You know, we live in an age today, and the truth is that man never thinks about God and never thinks about going out to meet God. But you know, the time is coming for the sinner when the day of sin will turn into the day of terror. And on that day, God will reveal unto you the consequences of your sin. And you will feel the guilt of your sin. And your thoughts will indeed trouble you. That's why when the Lord comes in mercy and speaks to your heart, then instead of resisting the strivings of the Holy Spirit, you need to turn to Him and find salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And while the Bible speaks about the mercy of God, and we have spoken about the mercy of God this week, and while the Bible speaks about the love of God, and we have emphasized the love of God this week, and while the Lord sent His Son to die upon the cross, and thank God we have emphasized the cross this week, and we will do the same tonight again, we must also remember that God is also a God of judgment. And those who willfully resist the strivings of the Holy Spirit and reject the Word of God and fight against God and sin against God, the day will come when you will stand before the God of heaven and give an account of the deeds done in your body. Indeed, the Bible says that every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. That God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. And that's the solemn truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the truth is that man cannot get away with sin, and man will not get away with sin. Sin has to be punished, and sin will be punished. And here we have Belshazzar, and he's spending his last day upon this earth. And at the beginning of the day, he's enjoying sin. And all of a sudden, God steps into his life. And the day of sin, and the day of pleasure, and the day of enjoyment turns into the day of terror. My friend, your day of pleasure and sin and enjoyment someday will turn into a day of terror. When it will dawn upon your soul that you'll have to meet God face to face. Do you ever think about meeting God? You know, when John wrote in the book of Revelation, he said that he saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. What a day that will be, when the sinner will stand before God, when death and hell will be delivered up, when the bodies of those in the graves will come forth and be reunited with their souls and stand before their Maker. When the seal give up the dead which were in it. When all the worlds and all the generations of those who have lived in the world will come forth to stand before the mighty God of glory. It'll be a day of terror. And my friend, your thoughts will trouble you certainly in that day. But I pray tonight that your thoughts will trouble you. Think upon these things. Think seriously upon these things. But notice something else. I want you to take a look here. Thirdly, not only was it a day of sin, not only was it a day of terror, but it was a day of loss. It was a day of great loss for Belshazzar. On that day, Belshazzar lost three things. At least three things. First of all, he lost his kingdom. Look at verse 26. This is the interpretation of the thing, meaning, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Take a look at verse 28. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then compare verse 21. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. So the first thing that Belshazzar lost that day was his kingdom. His kingdom came to an end. But you know, if that wasn't bad enough, he lost his life. Look at verse 30, what it says there. It says this, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Bad enough losing your kingdom and being brought into exile, remaining there for X number of years. But that wasn't even going to be the portion of Belshazzar. That night, not only was his kingdom taken from him, but his life was taken from him. But he lost something more than that. He lost his soul. He lost his soul. Look with me at verse 27, and you'll read these words. Tickle, thou art weighed in the balances, and art found wanting. As far as his soul was concerned, his soul was not prepared for death and eternity. His soul was not prepared for heaven. And he lost his soul. Oh my friend, it's one thing to lose your wealth and your riches. It's another thing to lose your health. But oh, to lose your soul. That's such a loss that you can't afford. Such a loss that you can't afford. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Riches and wealth are not forever. Someday God will take you away from it all. But oh, to lose your soul. I wonder tonight, as you sit in this gospel meeting, and as you have come here and listened to the Word of God night by night, maybe this is your first night here. Have you ever considered losing your soul? Have you ever considered going out into eternity and being lost forever and forever and forever and forever? Here's a man. And at the beginning of this day, he thought it was just going to be like every other day. He thought at the end of that day, he would go to bed, go to sleep, and waken up the next day and continue his sinful living. But God stepped into his life. And my friend, someday God will step into your life. You will be going on just normally. You'll just be going on taking that day like every other day. But all of a sudden, God will step in. And you'll lose your wealth, and you'll lose your health, and you'll lose your life. And you'll lose your soul. And you'll be plunged out into God's eternity. And out into hell itself. Because the Bible says, the soul that sinneth it shall die. You know, at death, and this is just a contrast, but at death the Christian never loses anything. If he has had riches and wealth upon the earth, he gives them up for the riches of heaven. When a Christian loses his life upon earth, he gives it up for eternal life more abundant in heaven. And of course, the Christian can never lose his soul, for the moment the Christian dies, his soul enters into eternal rest. But the Christ rejecter loses everything. Loses absolutely everything. You say to me, preacher, you're trying to scare me into religion. Friend, I wouldn't try to force you into religion or scare you into religion, because religion would absolutely do nothing for you. And as we found out last night, there's men and women and they have religion right up to their teeth and they're on their way to a Christless eternity. Because remember, the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God, as we found out last night. No, friend, I'm trying to persuade you from the Word of God tonight that someday you're going to stand before God, and unless you're saved and born again of the Spirit of God, and unless you're covered in the blood of the Lamb, you'll never stand before Him and hear those words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." I'm trying to impress upon you tonight your need of God's salvation. To impress upon your heart tonight that someday it will be your last day upon this earth. And you need to make a preparation, because it could be this day. It could be before 12 o'clock comes tonight. It could be before you get home from this meeting this evening. Because the Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." What if Belshazzar, at the beginning of that day, had said, "Tomorrow I'll make my plans for the same pleasure." Tomorrow. Even if he had said, "Tomorrow I'll start thinking about God and start looking towards eternity," it would have been too late for him. The Bible says, "Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Oh, it was a day of loss. It was a day of terror. It was a day of sin. It was a day of judgment. It was a day of great, great loss. The last day that he lived upon this scene of time. How will you live your last day upon this earth? Will you live it for Christ, or will you live it for sin? Will you live it for Satan, or will you live it as a child of God, redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb? Death comes. No matter how it comes, when death comes, how will you face death? You know, the Bible says that in a moment, the wicked go down into the grave. In a moment. Life is short, and death is sudden. Eternity is. But thank God for those who are trusting alone in the blood of Christ and saved by the grace of God. Friend, I don't know how I'm going to face my last days, whether in sickness. I don't know how I'm going to die, as far as this physical body being taken from this scene of time is concerned. But I know this: when death comes, it'll be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. All because of the grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can have that assurance as well. It's not because there's something special about me. It's because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me in the place called Calvary. Thank God the Savior died. He died and shed His blood for your sins and my sins, so that when we come to face the last enemy, that we would go home to be with Him for all eternity. Isn't it great to be saved, child of God? Great to be born again of the Spirit of God? Great to know that when our last day comes, whenever it is, we're never going to die. You know, the child of God never dies. We never die. We just go home to glory to live with Christ for all eternity. That's not dying, friend. That's living. That's receiving eternal life. And you can have that eternal life tonight by trusting alone in Christ. You need to come to the Savior, but you need to put your faith and trust in Him. Spend your last day as a Christian, as a child of God. Let us all pray.